realms of Senate.
Why does that sound like the most Barty thing ever? The Doritos called me.
I did, and they were Cool Ranch.
Cool Ranch Doritos? Okay. I guess that hit the call button? Yeah,
it did, because I was doing a happy dance because I had the Doritos. But now I had to tell Craig about my Cool Ranch because you didn't, you know, let me tell you in private.
No, sorry. I didn't realize that was actually a thing.
Well, yeah, because, you know, Craig's going to store this and you're going to, like, put it as, like, a thing 3 years from now.
What's Thrawn, right? Thrawn Brook. That's the dwarf with you right now.
Yeah, and I guess we're fugitives or something.
Yeah, you're fugitives now, right? Yeah. And I think you decided to go ahead with his idea to check out the Banefoot Estate, if I recall. Is that where we left off about?
Yeah, we were like fleeing town and that was like his idea of where we should go. Although I will add that I think we're still cautiously optimistic that he's not with the bad guys, but we're going with it for now.
All right, so he leads you through... basically like the woods just outside of the city to a very overgrown area. There's a lot of, it's a really heavily forested area, not trafficked much. Eventually you start seeing like ruins, I would say, like walls that used to be there, like overgrown roads and paths. And you come upon, so sorry, what?
Oh, nothing. I just dropped a handful of dice. It's fine.
Okay. Kind of like the mansions or the estate is kind of coming out from this overgrown foliage, stone walls that are quite weathered, ivy growing up them. And you find iron gates that lead into the, I would say court, what probably was a courtyard. So that's where you are standing presently then.
I want to kind of like survey this scene and just look around at what is here and possible points of entry, as well as possible points of ambush.
Go ahead and roll a perception check. That, like, there's a lot of places people can hide if they really wanted to.
So, 19 on the die, plus 6, so 25.
Okay. You don't hear any strange sounds. You're not seeing any anyone that appears to be, like, hiding in any of the behind trees, or you're pretty certain there's, like, nobody here at the moment out in this... like this entrance area. As for entrances, you see one pair of double doors that are ahead of you that are quite tall for, especially for like a dwarven home, you would, because, yeah. They're pretty rotten doors. One of them's half on the hinges. You're seeing some windows that you could you suspect could be entrances, but you're not seeing any other obvious points of entry to the main estate. You do notice that there is a smaller building off to what would be like the west side of the area, but that's pretty run down. Looks like it may have been like a stabling area, and that you can only barely see.
I guess I'll glance at my companions and be like, shall we gesture vaguely toward the front of the place? Although I'm almost thinking we should go through a window instead of the doors in case it's noisy.
Windows might be a better choice, but gotta, you know, find one that doesn't have people around.
Well, I mean, we could also investigate the doors and see how much of a bother it would be to just, like, peel it open.
I said it was hanging off its hinge. Probably pretty easy to get in, but I'll follow you guys. Window or door, let's go.
I don't know, let's investigate the door. If we can get in there without making a ruckus, let's do it. How much of a bother does it seem to be when we get closer to the door?
Man, I was muted that whole time. I was saying all kinds of shit.
Oh, I wonder.
I'm so sorry. Yeah, you're so quiet about this. Like, usually this is your jump-in point, right?
Yeah, well...
It's like a song or something.
You're like, why is no one responding?
I know, I thought my jokes were so bad.
It felt eerie. I was like, where is he?
Yeah,
I
don't want to call him out. You should have, because I said, you're like, you're... talking about going around the west side. I'm like, west side? No one said anything. And then I was like, sorry. And still no one said anything.
I was tempted to be like, to the window, to the door.
Yeah, that's what was going good. In my head. That was good too. Can I try to persuade the door not to be nasty?
Okay.
I missed you.
I'm here. Hi. Okay. I mean, you can maybe do that with... I don't know, something. Surely there's a check for
persuading doors to not be nasty.
Well, I just have this thing that's like it's got like a magic mouth on it and it's just like screaming obscenities at us, you know? Is that not the case? Okay, we can investigate the door.
Okay.
It's one of those knockers that's a mouse.
Yeah.
So while he's like having a conversation with the door, we just like reach around him and start opening it, and it's fine, right?
Yeah, so you're investigating the door just to see if you can get in past it as you're quietly, right? That's what.
Yes. Wanna... Yes, that's my requirement, is to do it quietly.
Okay. You are not entirely certain you can do it 100% quietly. Like, you would have to probably finish removing the door and do it that quietly, or trust that the other side of this entrance isn't going to make noise when you open it. And as you're kind of looking at this, it's obviously the hinges don't look trustworthy on that end. Like, they're not oiled or anything.
So this is going to be ruckus central.
It could be.
So I'll abandon the door while he's still mid-conversation and go check out the nearest window.
You know, if you were to open quietly, we could get in. You know what I'm saying, door?
But if you are nasty while we try to open you, that is a problem, all right? It's bad.
I mean,
don't
I
be like that.
Into that.
All right, so Maeve, you move to one of the windows and peek in while the bard's knocking on the door with his mouth or something? Is that what he was doing? What are you doing, Peter?
I'm persuading the door.
Persuading the door. So, like, you say this, but could you describe how you're doing this? Because maybe I'm misunderstanding, like, there's an actual mechanic to this, like on Bard?
No, there's no mechanic. I'm just being a dumbass.
He said he suspected that it's animated and that he could carry on a conversation with it.
Yeah, I'm trying.
It doesn't seem to be responding to you.
You just got ghosted by a door.
I failed.
Okay. Maybe you look into one of the windows. The glass itself is kind of obscuring your view inside slightly. It's cracked. It's faded. Not faded, but it's gotten some opaqueness to it at this point. So you can't exactly see in so well. But you do see that there's a lot of stuff on the floor, like broken vases, see like tattered portraits that have been ripped and fallen onto the floor, frames that are broken. You see like cobwebs up in the corners of the ceiling. For a moment, you like catch a rat that's running, scurrying across the floor.
So considering that it looks like thieves and raiders have been here, does there appear to be any like apparent point of entry that they've been using? Because probably not the front door, since it's still there.
So you're going to walk like the perimeter of this estate? Is what you're planning?
Yeah, I'm looking for a way in that isn't like... So I'm thinking of that time that we went into Mordville, and the first thing we encountered was like thieves and magical spiders. I'm kind of looking to avoid that sort of thing.
Okay, roll one more investigation on this as you walk the perimeter.
So my math says that 6 + 5 = 11.
Okay, you see that there is an area that has been recently used. It is actually a open doorway. The doors are already removed. It's on the side of the building. You'd say the north side.
All right, well, like, I don't know how close my party is, but I'll gesture to them or speak to them or whatever and indicate that I found a way in.
Yes, we should follow you then.
Yep.
Don't even have to charm this door.
Peter's ears droop. Out of all of them.
Is it Alita? Are you whistling?
No, that's echoes.
That was pretty good.
Got some background music on the way in.
They liked your whistling, dear.
It sounded like an omen, though. Like, maybe this is not the right way to go in. So what's inside this doorway?
All right, you see that there's a main hallway you see a hallway that leads straight into probably another hallway some distance away. Several doors line this hallway. Again, you're seeing a lot of stuff on the floor. There's like candelabras that are just laying on their side on the ground.
Lumiere, is that you?
Lumiere. Oh, that's a Disney reference, isn't it?
I mean, if the door was supposed to be alive.
We found the beast castle.
I'm waiting for these candelabras to light up.
Well, unfortunately, they don't seem to respond to your entrance as you start making your way into this hallway. None of them seem to light up magically, or and nothing comes alive and starts talking to you.
A tale as old as time.
I'm sadly disappointed that this place is just mundane. Does there seem to be like any sort of, is it just like scattered? People have been through here clearing what they can, or is there any sort of like organization to this that indicates anything? Or do we just pick a direction?
You're not seeing, let me think about what you've asked. So you're asking if like thieves had like organized the stuff they were stealing?
No, what I mean is like, does it seem to be, is it apparent that there was some sort of goal or purpose, or is it just random? They just take what they can and then get out, you know?
Well, I mean, from the hallway, the candelabras don't look particularly valuable. So as you're looking around, you're not seeing like valuables. So it has been looted and it's, go ahead.
I realize what I'm trying to ask, like how to word it, because I'm struggling with that. Like, does it seem like there's any particular place that everybody is drawn to?
Oh, no, not really. Like, you're not seeing like footprints on the ground or anything like that. You're just seeing pretty much an old mess. One of the doors is slightly ajar as you're kind of peeking around here. When you're looking in there, you see what looks like a dining area. And again, this matches the descript of so far. Just the things are broken. They're not around. However, you kind of glimpse something that looks like a shadow that moves as you're looking in through there.
Creepy. Guess I'll like quietly turn and be like, there's something going on in here.
Let's turn on the stealth. We're going to go in.
Yeah, I want to watch for a minute and see if anything moves or changes in there. Because maybe I'm just spooking myself. So
What would you say?
I was just reiterating, like, so if we like kind of hunker down and get real quiet and still for a minute and continue to watch in the dining room, does anything seem to shift or change or move in there?
So anyone looking in there can make a perception check. The door is not fully open, so like, kind of keep in mind all your heads will be in the line straight up.
We're really close knit.
Yep. I got a 17 on the die plus 4 for a 21.
24 for me.
Six.
Peter's ears are blocking your view.
Plus, I have a big head.
Oh, his ears are really soft.
Thanks. I use conditioner.
Okay, so if you've gotten a 20 or better, it looks, you actually see what's like three shadowy figures that don't have a body that are just moving, and they look like they're trying to hide from your view a bit. Like blend in with the rest of the shadows and the dim light in the room. The dim light being the natural light coming in from one of the open windows. However, you notice one of them seems to just at some point fade out of existence and disappear.
Okay. I don't know enough lore. What are these?
I cast Fairy Fire in the room. Dexterity 15. Each object in a 20-foot cube within range is outlined in a blue, green, or violet light. I'll say green because Slimer's cool. Any creature in the area the spell casts is also outlined in a light. If it fails a dexterity saving throw, for the duration, objects and affected creatures shed dim light in 10-foot radius.
10-foot radius, you say? Okay. And you're doing it just kind of like in the center of the room. The room isn't particularly huge or anything. It's just...
Well, it's a 20-foot cube for the spell area. Cube.
Okay, so that's pretty much the whole area.
Yeah. They shed light as like a 10-foot radius torch.
Right, okay, that's where I screwed that up. Okay, so you see now, you see there's like three creatures that are clearly outlined and are now emitting light. As I said before, they don't seem to have a body. They're just literal shadows that seem to be standing there. And they seem to react to the spell hostily. And they seem to be starting to make an approach to the door. So, all of you, since all of you are looking and you can clearly see now through the bunny ears, you can even see this. What's the reaction of the party here?
I want to persuade them to not be nasty.
You're very adamant about using your bardic skills, I see.
Mm-hmm. Don't be nasty.
You should write a song telling them not to be nasty.
Don't be nasty. Don't be nasty. Cha-cha-cha.
All right, so the bard attempts to persuade shadowy things that are coming your way. What's everyone else doing?
Do I have a chance to, like, try and slink into the shadows myself?
You can, yeah. So you're going to take the hide action?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I'm just trying to hide. I'm being descriptive about it, but...
So the intent here seems to be that you're going to stand and defend yourselves if you need to?
Sounds about right, yeah.
Well, I assume we have a purpose here, but we're not just going to flee. We're looking for something. I don't remember what, though.
Information on Bainder, I guess.
Hey, is Thronbrook still with us, or did we leave him somewhere?
He's still with you. In everyone's imagination, a dwarf pops up in that line of heads that are looking in this doorway. Because, yeah, I forgot to make mention of him. You're right.
So, just to declare, the stealth that I rolled is a 24.
Okay, that's really good. All right, you take cover in the hallway. Let's get some initiative rolls if you're going to stand ground here. And go ahead, Alita.
Well, I was just wondering if there's shadows. What if we, like, light the place up, make them more angry? I don't know. What do you guys think?
For initiative, light it up with, like a fireball?
Well, I wasn't thinking, quite aggressively, but let's see. Just, like, a cantrip or something.
Okay. I have that cantrip, kind of.
Just light.
Okay. What'd you get for your initiative roll, Alita?
7.
Anyone else? Like, Erevan's already 19. Maeve?
16.
7 plus 7 for a 14.
That's a healthy initiative.
Because Bardic Bullshit. Because the rabbit gets plus 2 initiative just for being a rabbit.
So, rabbit bullshit.
Yeah, but also, I got a 16 plus 10 for a 26 on my persuasion.
You're a very persuasive rabbit.
And
no wonder you want to persuade bullshit. Everything, not to be
Dude,
nasty.
My performance is a 10. My persuasion is a 10. That's before I roll. That's pretty badass.
So you got a what total? A 20-something?
A 26. My persuasion. 26. Yeah. Like, hey, our cart just lost a wheel, man. You don't got to get handsy.
Do they have hands?
Well, I'm going to say that one of the shadows is momentarily stunned at the bard's persuasion attempt. And actually stops to listen because they just rolled a critical fail on their insight. Or wisdom save, I guess. I guess you have to wisdom save against Peter.
I'm so persuasive if you have to wisdom save? That's awesome.
just this once, I'll go. It's not the reaction he was expecting. It's a bunny in the hallway just dancing and singing about a cartwheel that's missing. So Alita's asking for light. Erevan, you're actually up first in this initiative order. The door is probably half open now, but the shadows are on their way to it.
Is it clear that they're hostile?
They seem to be aggressive, yes. However, you're welcome to kind of save or ready something instead of just acting first if you wanted to.
Yeah,
do you know what they are?
I was thinking I would ready an action to attack with my sword. Like, the moment that one of them does something hostile, I guess. The moment one of them attacks, I'll attack it.
As for Alita asking what they are, I don't think anyone actually, any of the characters here actually recognizes exactly what they are. It's kind of like the outline that's on them, the fairy fire, isn't exactly giving any form other than like a humanoid form to these shadows. But I guess it's kind of telling that the spell actually worked on them. So they're not like purely ethereal. They're actually there and present. Maeve, you're actually up next.
I'm kind of following the same line of thinking where if there is some possibility that we could avoid a confrontation with them, I'll wait it out. So just kind of want to be in position and ready to attack if need be, like hostility or someone gets attacked or whatever.
All right, so you're ready to an attack as well. And you are hidden as well. So, Peter, it's your turn.
That fairy fire spell is concentration. So, just so you know. And it gives advantage on attack rolls against them. Oh, so wow. Everybody else is aware. So one stop, but the other ones are coming, are still coming, like, at us, right?
Yeah, they're moving really quickly too, faster than like just somebody walking. So,
all right. Well, if they can't be persuaded, they must be persuaded. If you catch my meaning, right?
No, but go ahead and explain.
Okay. All right. Well, my the explanation for this is instead of persuasion, I'm going to talk about how they don't have legs, therefore are terrible dancers.
So vicious mockery.
Vicious mockery, yep. Wisdom saving throw 15, please.
On all of them? Is it an area thing?
No, it's just one. The closest one.
They do not make it.
All right. They're going to take 5 points of psychic damage. And that's my turn.
Okay. And is that the thing where they fall down and laugh or whatever?
No, that's Tasha's Hideous Laughter. Vicious Mockery is a cantrip, but just does damage.
Okay. So two of the three seem to disappear from your sight. I'll explain in a minute on that one. But the one that you've damaged actually comes up to the door and is trying to open the door. And it actually takes an attack at Peter, who just attacked him. Therefore, triggering Erevan. And then Maeve comes out from, I don't know where she's hiding, like above the door maybe, jumps down onto a shadow. I don't know. However you want to do it.
That's some superhero stuff right there. I mean, yeah. I'll take it.
Superhero
two attacks,
landing.
Go.
You I got go. A 20. I got a 20.
Oh.
What happens when you do that? I forget.
You get to roll your damage dice twice.
Erevan got a 13 and 10 to hit.
The 13 hits.
Oh, that's lucky.
So do I roll just the damage for the weapon or the sneak attack damage also?
All dice. All dice on your damage gets rolled twice.
I should have had more D6s ready for this.
You just cast a rogue fireball.
The attack that hit deals 15 slashing damage and 11 fire damage.
Okay.
Oh my god, the maths, y'all. So, hang on a second. What is 27 plus 18?
It's death. This thing's dead.
It's a lot.
The answer is yes.
45?
Yeah, that's 2d8 plus 8d6 plus 7.
That's one hell of a crit.
Superhero fork.
Goodbye.
All right, so this shadowy figure just dissipates and it kind of bleeds into the floor and disappears from view. However, those candelabras and that are on the floor, they light up in the hallway and a bright, and they're very bright. And the figures seem to like crawl out from these candelabras and on the lights, and they are still here. There's still three of them, and they're coming at you through the hallways. However, they don't get to do their turn yet. Alita.
Real quick. So the ones that disappeared, right?
Yeah.
So part of Fairy Fire is the effective creature or object can't benefit from being invisible.
Okay. Well, they're not invisible. You can see them. I hope I described that right.
No, you said they disappeared.
Well, they teleported from where they were into the hallway, basically reemerging from the candelabras, and the fairy fire is still on them, so you can still clearly see them.
Okay.
She took it out and it just teleported and came back somewhere else?
No, this one's gone, so far as you can tell, but there was four of them in that dining area. One of them teleported, I think before the fairy fire. No, it was after. So actually, yeah, you would have seen all three of these coming. The one was killed. To your question, the one was killed by Maeve and Erevan and Peter.
Okay. So they turned on the lights on the candelabras?
They didn't mean to, but the fairy fire kind of like, with their teleportation spell, lit up the hallway, the candelabras that are on the ground.
Okay.
So there was like sparks and flashes of light in this hallway as they teleported and reemerged in the hallway. That is to say, you all clearly know where they are. They didn't, their teleportation right. didn't help them.
But do they have any sort of reaction to that light?
You can't say quite yet, I would imagine.
So the light cantrip just says at will. Does that mean it doesn't have to be an action, or does it?
It would say in the actual spell description, right? If it's an action, as an action, you cast.
Mm-hmm. It's an action. You can just do it as much as you want.
Yeah, it will. Just means you can. There isn't a limit to it.
Okay. Well, I really want to see what this does, so I'm gonna cast light and see what happens.
All right. So the hallway is dimly lit with the candelabras already, which was higher than basically almost darkness that you walked into. The light spell, I believe, would raise that from dim to basically this hallway is completely lit. You can see everything. the shadows themselves, they don't stop and say, hey, I don't like this. This hurts or whatever. They just continue on attacking, but they do move more frantically, if that helps. Alita is kind of describing that the light seems to have some, they don't like it when you've cast it.
Okay.
Is that your turn, I think? Unless you want to do something else on your turn other than that action.
I don't know that I can do anything else because I did that.
Okay. So that's the end of this first round. As we go into this next round, I'm going to say, is there any like shuffling anyone wants to do? Like, because you all still have like movement technically, if you want to like set up a different defensive line or front or something.
Erevan will probably move to the front, but that's all I can really think of.
Yeah, so that to describe a little bit, two of them are like on your the northern side towards the entrance to this area. One of them is to the south and are charging your party presently. So Erevan, you from your description, you're probably going to want to stand to the north and defend against the two.
Sure.
Okay.
I would like to like actually enter the room a little bit so that there's room for other people to enter as well, but yeah.
Oh, you want to move back? Like into the dining room?
Into the room with the shadows.
Oh, they're in the hallway with you.
Oh, they teleported. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, then I'll just move towards them, I suppose.
Okay. Anybody else want to do anything on that end? Otherwise, it's Erevan's turn. Oh, wait a minute. Did I skip the monsters?
I think you did.
Oh, well, okay.
There was one that attacked and the others teleported, but I think that's it. I don't know if that's their entire turn.
No, the two of them still need to go. Alita?
Does Thronebrook get a turn?
Yeah, he's hiding behind you, actually.
Oh, he's that's his turn, huh?
And he's just not as badass of a librarian as Erevan, unfortunately.
Well, if anyone takes a look at him, when Alita's like, what are these? Light maybe? And then she throws out the light. He's actually studying the creatures, and his action is going to essentially be a knowledge check. But we haven't really come to him yet. So those two creatures that Erevan, you're kind of taking up defensive point against, they come up and they try to attack you. That's a mess. Jesus, I have so many to do. Oh God. Oh no. One of them actually makes a critical hit on you.
Ouch.
Well, at least the rest of them missed.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's unfortunate. The 220s are right next to each other there on that attack because they have disadvantage from the light. You can see that the light spell has really affected their... it's like reverse, like they can barely see you.
So the disadvantage is like he got 220s and can only take one.
Right. He has to take the lowest one of 220s.
So the disadvantage effectively did nothing. But if it was...
Well, it turned it from two critical hits into just one.
Well, if it wasn't disadvantaged, then that 20 could have belonged to a different creature, so still technically did something.
Okay, Erevan, you take 18 necrotic damage.
Is but a scratch.
And your strength score is reduced by 3.
You picked the wrong score to reduce. That's the funny thing.
I didn't pick it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That makes sense. That's
what it attacks the strength as a strength drain ability.
I'm not even going to mark that down because that basically does nothing.
Well, you do need to mark it down because if it gets down to 0, you die.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so now it's your turn, actually, Erevan.
Well, I'm going to attack whichever one decided to drain my strength because he's a bitch.
Okay. He had something that would light them up at the same time.
I'm not sure, but my greatsword deals additional fire damage, so...
Okay.
That is 2 hits.
All right. It is 25 slashing damage and 11 fire damage.
Maeve.
So what I want to accomplish is to attack the same one that he did, but also then disengage and take like a defensive position by Thronebrook, keeping in mind that he's not a fighter.
Okay. I actually forgot to roll this thing. Go and do your attack.
So a 21.
That's a hit.
Okay, and then 6 plus 7 is 13 damage for that. And then, like I said, I'll disengage.
That was with your sneak attack?
I don't think I was still hidden after, like, jumping on that other guy.
No, but it is in melee with Erevan.
Okay, well, then I guess I'll add my sneak attack.
And because of the... you get advantage because of the fairy fire anyway.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Roll at advantage to see if you get a crit. Do that as well, Erevan. Roll two d20s real quick.
But you also, every time you get advantage, you sneak attack, so.
I could roll two d20s to see if any of my previous hits were critical, but there's right. also the hit before that I missed, if that is something I get advantage on.
Yes, it would.
All right, so I'll roll two d20s to see if any of them are a crit. No, but I'll roll another one for the hit earlier. So that thing's already dead, actually, so I don't think that matters anymore.
Okay, fair enough.
The one that I was hitting earlier.
How much extra damage, Roxy?
12, and I re-rolled, and I got a 19, which it already hit, so it doesn't matter.
Okay, this one starts to fade from existence as well, actually, with the sneak attack.
As in, it's dead?
Yes, it starts to just melt from... It's a weird sight, I would imagine, to see a shadow melting, a glowy shadow melting.
Probably that helps that happens. It's glowy.
Yeah, and that's Peter's turn. Go ahead.
How many's left?
There's two. One in front on the north side of the hall next to Erevan, and one mm-hmm. to the south kind of coming out to whoever's in the back.
Probably me protecting Thronebrook.
Okay.
I don't really have a ton of magic left that I want to spend on this. So I'll say the one that looks damaged. Is there any of that look damaged at all?
Of these two, no.
Okay. You look like you should be damaged because you're half a person. Vicious mockery. Wisdom okay. saving throw 15.
6. That is a fail.
That is 8 psychic damage. Max damage.
Emotional damage.
Yeah, there you go. That's better. Pretend I said that instead.
All right. Was there a specific one you're attacking? I'm sorry if I missed that part.
The one that is in position to hit me the soonest.
Okay. So that'd be Erevan's.
Okay. There you go.
However, the bottom one does come up to Alita and is going to take 2 attacks on her.
Well, I should have hit that one.
And let's see. The highest attack would be a 14. Does that hit your AC, Alita?
No.
Okay. So that's its turn, and it's yours. Your turn, Alita.
Okay.
Alita's got some barbarian AC shenanigans.
Barbarian AC shenanigans? What?
Because barbarians can get ridiculously high AC without wearing any armor.
I'm a monk.
Yeah. I figure monks have something similar.
I don't know. Okay, 23 to hit.
That's definitely.
I probably don't need to reroll that one.
Well, you can reroll it to see if you get a critical hit.
Oh, okay. No. No, that would have been like a critical fail.
No.
All right. Yeah, you hit though. Go ahead and do your damage.
Okay, here's 8. Okay, 11.
All right, 11 for your first attack.
Oh, am I just going to... Let's see. It's like been too long. What do I have that I can do?
I think you get extra attack, right?
Do the... Yeah, okay. So spend the key point, and I can do the flurry of blows. Okay, so that would be 23 as well. And yeah, okay. And then, okay, 9 damage. Okay, so 19. Let me roll it again and see. Yeah, 19 to hit.
Yep.
4 damage.
24 damage?
Okay. I don't know.
That was with that adds up to 24, okay. I'm pretty sure. So that was 3 attacks then with your key thing?
Yeah.
Okay, because you have extra attack. That's why I was asking.
I have an extra attack?
Yeah, at beginning at 5th level, you can attack twice instead of once whenever you take the attack action on your turn. So without spending any key points, you can do 2 attacks.
Okay, so then I should attack again.
Yeah, I think you get one more. Okay. I'm assuming key gives you 2 attacks then?
Yes,
it does.
Damn.
Yeah, it gives me 2 unarmed strikes. Yeah, so I just have to pick one of the unarmed ones for that. So that's why I did the flurry of blows. Okay. Okay. So I guess since I have an actual one, I'll use the vicious spear again then.
Okay.
Okay, 27. Like close to
being. Yeah, that's definitely a hit.
And 11 damage.
35. That's a lot of attacks, actually.
Yeah. I don't usually do that much damage.
So I think we're on to the last shadowed monster for this round. That's the one near Aravon, I believe, if I recall. I did the one on you, yeah. And those are misses. We're at the top of the round. Any shifting anybody wants to do, go ahead and declare it now. Otherwise, it's Aravon's turn.
Has Thronebook figured out what these are?
No. Do you ask him again?
Yeah, I mean, I'm right next to him. I suppose I could whisper it to him.
He shakes his head, and he's like, you see he's like trembling.
I pat his shoulder reassuringly.
But he has pulled out a weapon. So next round, it looks like he's going to make an attack.
Aravon will attack the shade, whatever, that's closest to him.
Okay.
So those are with advantage as well, right?
Yep. The fairy fire, I believe, is still going because he's concentrating on it.
So hard. Ooh, that is 17 and 26 to hit.
Both of those would hit.
18 slashing damage and 12 fire.
Okay. Is that your turn? Your action stuff anyways?
Yep.
Maeve.
In the interest of still defending, I mean, he's not helpless at this point. He's got his weapon drawn, but I still am skeptical of his fighting prowess so far. So whatever is closest to him slash us, I'm going to attack.
All right. Well, you got a choice because Aravon's flame sorting one to the north and the one to the south is still about the same distance from you. Alita just got done punching it in the face a lot.
Then I might choose that one because it's probably closest to collapse or melting or whatever.
If you wanted to take a gander, they're about equally damaged.
I'll still choose that one because why not? Okay, so do we still have advantage? Do I re-roll that?
We still have advantage.
Well, I like the first one better anyway. So 24.
Yep.
Okay, so that's 20 damage.
Okay, and that one goes away. That's with your stealth and everything, or sneak attack, I'm assuming.
Yeah, I added that in this time. Plus, I'll get. Well, if he's gone, I guess I don't have to disengage, but I'll still return to like defending Thronebook.
Peter.
Yeah. As a bonus action, I want to. So the one by Aravon is still alive, right?
Yep.
Okay. As a bonus action, I want to use my rabbit hop ability that allows me to jump 15 feet without provoking opportunity attacks. I'm going to jump over it, land behind it, right? No provoking, okay. And then try to stab it.
Okay.
Do I have to make a check for that?
No. I would say no. You're a bunny. You know how to hop.
Yeah, I hop over him like a badass, and I'm going to make a swing at advantage.
Okay. And the hallway is tall enough to do this, too.
All right. Well, I rolled a 13 plus 8 is a 21.
That's a hit.
All right. I'm going to stab it.
And did you roll at advantage?
I did, because the other one was a 7. So I got a 12 damage with my plus 1 rapier.
All right, so you're leaving this thing with one hit point left.
Damn it.
38 and 12, yeah. The Thor thing. Okay, so that's... I think it's actually Alita's turn. I'll do two attacks on Aravon real quick, just for the hell of it. 15 does not hit Aravon's AC?
Nope.
Okay, go ahead and Alita.
Just slap it. It'll die.
Just a strong wind.
Yeah, pretty much. Just blow it down. Blow the shadow away.
Okay, I just rolled a 1. We're going to do the advantage roll now. Okay, so that's 19.
Yeah, that's a hit. It dies.
It got bitch slapped.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it only had one hit point, so... As this one fades away, however, and its shadows kind of melts into the ground and disappears, the hallway starts to become dim again as like the fairy fire disappears. However, the light spell that you've cast seems to have less of an effect as shadows start to creep into, not shadowed creatures, but shadows themselves start to creep back through the hallway. And you hear like the house starting to give like a groan, and it feels like things are shifting. Not like an earthquake per se, but like a low, low rumble.
What kind of groan? Like a...
It's not like a humanoid or creature groan. It's just like as the house is shifting or something.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Aravon's sword also produces bright light. I don't know if that's also affected by the shadows.
A little bit, yeah. But it's... After the groaning and the weird shifting, like a rumble that you can feel in your feet, in this house, the light starts to return to normal, or how it should be anyways.
So the candelabras, like how many candlesticks are there on each one?
There's 5 on each one.
Oh, geez.
That's a lot of candles.
Yeah, I pick one up and I want to break one off, like one of the stalks.
Okay.
Because I can only cast 4 dancing lights.
Okay.
I'm going to put the dancing lights on each one.
On each of the stalks. Break one off.
So yeah, break one of the candlesticks off because I can't do 5. I can only do 4.
You don't want people to know that there's one you can't do or something?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, it's embarrassing.
Like, this one was defective.
Yeah, it's embarrassing.
All right, so you have like this big ass candelabra that's basically a spear, and you're pointing it down the hallway with lit fairy fire.
No, it's just it's dancing lights.
Dancing lights, then. Okay.
4 torch-sized lights within range, glowing orbs that looks like they're, you know, lit up from the candelabra.
All right, and you're actually carrying this?
Yeah.
Okay, like the whole thing, all of it. You just pick. Okay.
Well.
I'm just trying to get it in my head. Let's see what I see. You
know I thought they were like little candelabra. I didn't know they were like spears.
They're like,
but
I think that's what they're called. Candelabras, those things that will stand on the floor and you like light the candles on them, right? They're basically like lamps.
Oh, so you're not talking about like a tabletop candelabra. You're talking about like a standing like sconce type thing.
Right. But it's not a sconce because it's not stuck to a wall, right?
But I kind of like that, too.
It'd be these things combined, pretty much.
It's practically like its own weapon.
I kind of like it, though. Instead of, like, holding it. Yeah.
I'm picturing you using it like a walking stick at this point. Or a hopping stick.
That one right there, Erevan. That's basically what he's holding in his hand.
Yeah, that I like bottom. It.
Except one of those things are gone, because he can only do 4.
Yeah, I can only do 4. So the middle one, I don't break it off then. Now I got to rethink this, okay? Okay, so what do I have in my inventory?
Couldn't we just like light it with flint and steel?
No. That breaks my whole thing. I have tinker stools. I don't know why that helps me. I don't have anything worthwhile in my backpack.
While he's playing with the lights, I want to kind of check out that area where those shadows were haunting and see what they were maybe protecting.
All right, so you look into the dining area where they found these shadows to find, see if they're like haunting or protecting something.
Yeah, like if there's any reason why that's the spot we found them and that's the spot where people are going to.
All right, you find very little. Nothing that catches your eyes as something valuable or what you're looking for. However, you do eventually stumble across what looks like a faded diary. And you wouldn't think that this is specifically what they're protecting, but that is something you find in here.
Well, I'll pick it up and maybe browse through it a little bit as he's playing with his lights.
Okay, so as you hear him like pulling out his tinker and stuff out of his backpack in the hallway, he's like, is this what I need? You're just flipping through the diary. What's everyone else doing?
What kind of check would Erevan need to make to see if he can figure out like what those creatures were?
Arcana?
I'm good at Arcana, somewhat. That is a 20 total.
You don't know of a specific name to these creatures, these shadowed monsters. You also suspect you might not know all of the abilities that they had. However, the closest thing you could recall from your studies and stuff is literally written down as shadowed monster.
Well, that's descriptive.
Like they seem to they're basically like a shade, but a little less powerful, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I'd hope so.
They're like old. They tend to be hold on 1 second as I think. They're basically like a small connection to the Shadowfell realm. And they kind of, where there's been like tragic or tragedies, they'll kind of haunt an area, but they're like Shadowfell spirits, essentially.
I suppose that kind of gives us a hint that there's been some sort of tragedy here. That would, of course, inform everyone else of this.
Okay.
I put down the candelabra because I can't figure out what to do with the middle one. It'll look just weird. I put it down in disgust.
Dear Diary, another night spent within the confines of this forsaken mansion, and the weight of its haunted past hangs heavy in the air. Shadows dance along the walls, whispering secrets that seem just out of reach. How I long for the warmth and laughter that once filled these halls, before the Banefoot curse took hold of our family. It has been months since I discovered the truth behind our ancestral curse, buried deep within the family archives. The dark deeds of our ancestors, the sins they committed in their pursuit of power, have cast a perpetual pall over our lives. The curse consumes us, its tendrils of misfortune suffocating our hopes and dreams. I am one of the last of the Banefoots, burdened with the weight of the generations past. See their faces in the faded portraits that line these decayed walls. Their eyes follow me, accusing and mournful, as if pleading for redemption. How can I break free from a curse that has plagued our bloodline for centuries? The manor itself reflects the tragedy that has befallen our family. Once a grand symbol of our prosperity, it now stands as a crumbling monument to our downfall. The Banefoot legacy lies in its ruins, the halls echoing with emptiness and forgotten memories. I wander through these corridors, tracing my fingers along the cracked wallpaper, desperate to unravel the secrets that may hold the key to our salvation. Tonight, as the moonlight spills through the cracked windows, I will venture into the forbidden chambers hidden beneath the mansion. I carry the weight of the past on my shoulders, but hope flickers within my heart. Perhaps within these hidden depths, I will find the answers that have eluded us for so long. I must be cautious, Diary, for the shadows hold unknown dangers. Dark forces stir, hungry for our demise, but I cannot falter, for the Banefoot name must be redeemed. I will face the ghost of our past, confront the sins of our ancestors, strive to break the curse that has ensnared our family for far too long. May the light guide my path and grant me strength to face whatever horrors lie ahead. I will not rest until the Banefoot legacy is restored and our souls find peace once more. Yours faithfully, Bainder.
This is Bainder's diary?
That's probably the impression you get.
I'll snap it closed and be like, well, it looks like we got to find a way down below.
So, didn't we hear that he made some sort of deal with something that ended up making him the mummy, right? Is that maybe...
I think you're talking about the dwarven god of greed, like his patron, essentially.
Is that what it was? Yeah, I don't know. It was something that, I don't know. Like, is that maybe what he's talking about if he's going down to, is this where he's going to make some deal to try and change his fate? Would we be finding the same thing that he did?
Maybe. Can we make a... Well, I guess we can just look for the down way, yeah? And if it looks like occultish and like we should do a ritual to do the same thing, we just don't do that thing?
Yeah, that sounds like a good sage piece of advice to keep in mind. Don't do the ritual things.
If it's going to make you a money, don't do that. Is that what you mean? Like, you don't want to, like, you're afraid of getting mummified?
I was just trying to remember, like, because... He'd made a deal with something. It just sounded like this was the lead up to what he had done, but I couldn't quite remember what he had done. So
I don't know. I was on a coffee run when you guys were doing that.
I'm not entirely sure how much I should step in to remind about things, but or recall things anyways.
Can I make a DM persuasion check?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. I'm also trying to remember because, like, so I think what I had said was that he made a deal to become basically a mummy with the dwarven god of greed, as I don't think I've given a name for him yet, but that was how he became like a mummy lord, essentially, and got the powers of undeath. I'm trying to think if I made mention of anything else that he might have made a deal with. I don't think so, beyond stuff he had done during life, trying to set up the city in, you know, Bainder itself. There were some deals that were made in that regard, but it wasn't like with it was basically he took a place, a dragon's lair essentially, and turned it into a city. That wasn't exactly a deal. So,
yeah, we should probably go through and listen to those recordings and like note these things down for everybody to see so that it's all fresh for us.
Yeah, I don't think I said that made a deal with any creature per se. Is that what you're saying, Alita, though?
I mean, I just remembered something, and that was, like, the reason he was a mummy and had actually managed to, like, become rich and all these things that he shouldn't have because of the curse.
Right, yeah, that would be the dwarven god of greed that you made that deal with, then.
Okay.
So what's the progression here, or what's the plans?
Look for a way down, I think.
Yeah, do, like, a blitz search of the upper level. Like, anything stands out, we can, you know, check it out. But it kind of sounds like we need to go down. Like, I feel like our overall goal was something to do with figuring out how to, like, de-mummify city, right? So, like, maybe whatever he found down below is a key to that.
So a quick blitz search of the mansion as you're looking around. Go and do perception checks for everybody as we just, like, generalize this whole search of the floor.
I got a 16.
17.
7.
17 as well for everyone.
Get your ears out of my face.
Quit trying to smell them all the time.
They're so nice.
I know. I use conditioner. I told you.
All right. So you don't see any other of these creatures as you're looking around. Nothing that stands out to you as a concerning movement or anything to that effect, or habitation. You do find a room with a larger door. With your searches here, you actually, it was kind of like a hidden door, but you find it pretty easily. And as you push this door open, you see a staircase that does lead down. It's pretty steep, and it goes at a spiral, so you can't see the whole stairway.
I mean, is it a nasty door?
Is it a nasty door? No, it's not like a nasty door. It's not well kept or anything, but I mean, it's not. It's just like a wall, essentially, that opens up into this stairway.
All right. No need to persuade this door.
Unless you need a moment to, like, get something off your chest or something, have a little chat here before we, you know, go into the bowels of hell or wherever we're headed.
Yeah, no, I got my own diary.
Good to know.
Mm-hmm. Right. Is anybody who's going down first, if anybody is?
Should we light it up?
I'll go third.
I'll go because I think overall I might have the best perception. I'm not sure on that.
I guess Erevan will go second.
Mine's a +4.
And mine's a 6.
All right, Thronebrook is going to go last, I think, unless there's any contention to that. Maeve, as you step into the stairway, you see there's like, it starts to light up. The corridor down starts to light up a bit. You quickly look, and it seems that there's actually magical lights on the stairs itself, on the kicks of the stairs, like the riser part in front of each stair, that rather conveniently light up the entire stairway.
Fancy.
Yeah, I was just going to say that same thing. Fancy. So we're getting like the 5-star celebrity treatment here.
Mm-hmm. As you descend, you kind of see the darkness being pushed away by those lights, and you get to the bottom of this corridor or stairway into what's currently a dimly lit chamber. You see that the stairway down, the walls are lined with like a like ornate stone, with the stones appearing to have engravings on them. You think most of it's in Dwarvish. They appear to be names for anybody that actually reads Dwarvish. And it seems each stone seems to have a name on it.
Thronebrook would be able to read that, right?
Yeah, he would, actually, because he's a dwarf.
Does he notice anything special?
No, he doesn't seem... He's just, like, reading them in this room and when he gets down there. He doesn't say anything or shout out anything he's recognizing. There's a... In this this chamber that you're in, there's a door with... it's pretty ornate as well, and it appears to be made out of iron, and it's a heavier door. And however, it doesn't look like it's been open in a very long time, as you're seeing there are cobwebs that go over this door where the crack in the door is, or where the doors would crack. So it's been some time since anybody's been down here. And I'm only mentioning that because you've seemed to been looking pretty intently at where people have been.
Yeah, I was actually going to ask, like, what condition the stairs in? Are they dusty, or are they, like, spick and span as the lights are lighting up? Like, you know, but it sounds like it's pretty dusty.
It's dusty enough that as you are going down the stairway and getting into this chamber, there's, like, as you've lifted dust into the air, you can see, like, particles floating around wherever there is light, like dust and stone particles. Almost looks like an ash, even.
So I guess I would personally be wondering if Thronebrook is reading anything on these walls that indicate that we should not open this door, like any warnings or, like, spells or something like that.
Or just in general, what he knows about it.
He says, He says that he doesn't know anything about this chamber specifically. He just knows that something like this exists under the mansion.
Nothing interesting is written on these walls?
Nothing interesting on the walls that would indicate, or it doesn't seem, they're just names, he says. They're just names of ancestors, Banefoot ancestors. So, he says it seems to be like a lineage, a description of different families and relations. He does point out that some of the stones over here by the door itself, he says, so like, I have heard these names before, I can't put them to where, but they do have some familiarity to them, as in, like, this is more recent. He says, but the names that are starting at the top of the stairway he doesn't recognize them at all. He's like, he says to the effect that these are not names that have ever been used in the Banefoot family that he's aware of. And he doesn't know this. Like, his thoughts are on the significance of that.
Gotcha. Well, I hope we can persuade him to continue on with us instead of sitting here to study that, because I don't really want to leave him alone if that's where he's going with this.
I'm sure Peter can handle that.
Did somebody say persuasion?
So I guess show of hands, who's ready to go through this door?
I raise the dwarf's hand.